Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the Monday Morning Recap Show, everybody. Coming in hot at 4:45 Eastern Standard Time, as always. We're brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today with MyBookie.com. Use that promo code Drinking Bros. Double your first deposit up to $1,000. I'm going to have to reload. I had a bad day yesterday in the NFL. The Chiefs really boned me, which we'll get to in a few minutes. But the top story of the weekend is obviously college football. I'm reading the headline here off of Barstool. It's not even the CFP. It's that Missouri is the softest team in college football for refusing to play Kansas in the Liberty Bowl. Man, Bob, what happened here?
So my wife might be in labor right now.
Okay.
And it's probably irresponsible of me to be drinking alcohol.
Right, right.
But the story brings me so much rage that sure. I cannot possibly comment on it sober.
Okay.
Essentially, what happened is Kansas fans are fucking retarded, and some shitbag fucking college football journalist said that because Missouri didn't want to play in the Liberty Bowl without knowing who the fuck their opponent was, mm-hmm. that we were afraid of playing or didn't want to play fucking Kansas, who's 1-6 in their last seven games. Like
let me stop you right there, because
that's a scared man right there.
You've done nothing but hate on Kansas since you were probably what, 19 years old?
Yeah, 18, 19.
Give it 1 year to like build the full rage to build.
Yeah, sure.
And now you've got the opportunity for the first time in 11 years to actually play them. And you guys, it's all about, oh, we got a fucking basketball game that night. There's so many excuses.
Literally.
We don't want to split the crowd.
But it's an unranked basketball team. All right, so I don't really get that.
Hold that. They're getting votes. There's a lot of ranked teams right now that are solely ranked because of their name.
But yeah, like North Carolina until this week. Yeah. North Carolina's out
they're
now.
They're out now, yeah.
Yeah, but they started number one only because they're North Carolina.
And they
yeah.
stink.
Right.
Yeah, they're not good.
Missouri should be a tournament team, and winning that Kentucky game would actually be a huge resume booster. But literally, we had no idea who was going to play in the Liberty Bowl. And here's the best part, by the way. And I know Kansas fans have a hard time understanding how bowl games work because they haven't been to one since 2008. So it's been a long time. I get it. You're rusty.
But both teams are 6-6.
Right.
So, I mean, what's the disadvantage? Like, why not play the game at 6-6 at that point? You're two teams.
You don't that's what I was about to say. We don't decide shit. How is
the Liberty
fucking
Bowl
Missouri
actually decided it? And they said, hey, we want to put the two of you guys
together. No. They reached out and asked. No one has any control over anything. The SEC puts teams places. Oh, I don't know how the Big 12 works. But the SEC puts teams
places. They put out feelers. They're like, hey. What about this matchup?
The Liberty Bowl asked if we wanted to play in it, and we're like, no, it's the same fucking time. We ranked the Texas Bowl as one of our highest bowl preferences, which is also SEC Big 12. No idea who we were going to play in that either. We could have easily played Kansas. And here's the thing, though. That's insane to me. And you say this, and Kansas fans say this, and everyone fucking says this. Missouri's a trash program. No one cares about them. Blah, blah, blah. But then suddenly, we can also dictate what fucking bowl game we play in at 6-6. No one cares what we say.
But why not play your rival? Like this, the only time in memory that this has happened that I can think of was Ohio State, Michigan 2 years ago during COVID, where Harbaugh wanted to save his job. So the point spread came out on a Monday night, like it always does. It was -30.5.
That's a different thing. Season game.
Totally, but it's the game, right? And isn't this your game?
No, the Liberty Bowl is not our game.
Not the Liberty Bowl, but the rivalry, right? Isn't that the whole thing with Mizzou? Isn't that
we
your
can't
rival?
We can go back now. We can't be like, oh, since Kansas is playing Liberty Bowl, we want to be in it now.
Why not?
You literally, when we declined the Liberty Bowl, we had no idea who the opponent was. That was never the situation.
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit.
We don't even decline. Hold on. We don't even decline the Liberty Bowl. All you do is you give them a list of which bowl games you would rather play in for us and for Kansas, I assume it's the same way, the shitty menu that you have because you're a 6-6 team.
This sounds very convenient for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is. I feel nothing but convenience right
now. Because, but you take like the college football playoffs, which are happening right now. every Ohio State fan and every Michigan fan wanted to play again. Mm. And that's the only thing that we were pissed off about when the rankings came out, but just because we wanted to play our rivals again.
But like, the seeding doesn't, that's a totally different thing. You shouldn't be seeded.
No, I know, but as a fan, don't you want that?
Yeah, I do want to play Kansas again. Although I will say also, I would love to play Kansas in a bowl game. I would have preferred the Texas Bowl for my own.
So you can go.
Yeah, so I can go. So it'd be easier for me
to
go.
Where is the Liberty Bowl? We don't ever plan.
It's in Memphis.
Oh, it's in Memphis.
Yeah, so it's close. No, it's right on the Missouri border.
I don't think it would have been good for you guys to have played Kansas anyways because, I mean, there is the potential that it's their first bowl game since 2008, and then you come in and wreck them, and that's a good, like, even your best team sucks. Good storyline. Bad storyline, though, because Dominic Leavitt just entered the transfer portal. He's your best receiver.
Yeah, we had two dudes enter the draft as well. So
yeah, but like your best receiver.
Yeah.
Luther Burden's. You got a new quarterback now for next year.
He hasn't been official yet. But
Keaton Slovis is going.
Here's the other thing, by the way, with this, which is hilarious about Kansas fans being like, you're ducking us. One, we already have a home and home setup starting in 2025. Mm-hmm. Two, they've refused to play us for the last decade, which I would have loved because that would have been a free win every year because their record since we joined the SEC
season high for wins is 4 before this year.
They are 24 and 105 over the last 10 years.
But they knock off Texas quite often.
They do. I love them. I root for them in that game, genuinely.
Look, we've spent way too much time talking about these two shitty football teams.
Barstool's calling them the softest team in college football.
I don't know fuck about Barstool.
Yeah, like what? Like some third-tier blogger?
Fucking blogger, yeah.
I mean, this is Big Tennessee who's the reporter there. So, yeah. I know this guy who did this story. Brett McMurphy actually did this story. I fucking hate this guy.
Don't you think McMurphy is a little much?
He fucked up some big story.
For Ohio State.
Yeah.
Don't you think McMurphy is like...
He didn't fuck it up. He took him down.
That's too Irish. You don't need Mick and Murphy in the same fucking name, dude.
Sure don't.
As an Irishman, it's...
Yeah, that's too much. Yeah, I think you need to dial it back a little bit. Go back through Ellis Island, take the Mick off the front end, just call yourself Murphy.
Yeah. I will say just one final thing on this. I would have loved to play them, but... I will say this. That is a lame way to restart. I would rather it start with the home. I want to play them. I wish we would have played them. But, like, dude, they're fucking starting quarterbacks out. It's all the transfer portal sit-out bowl game shit. Like, that's a pretty...
Which will lead me to the next thing. With the bowl games that are out now, because obviously they announced it yesterday. Top four in the college football playoffs weren't really a surprise. USC and TCU both losing were kind of shocking. But other than that, the top four teams aren't really a surprise.
I was kind of hoping Michigan lost.
That
would have been funny if we had two Big Ten teams that didn't win the conference.
Yeah, it would have been... It would have been interesting. Michigan looked good, though, again. And that Edwards kid looks better than Corum. Their backup running back looks better than Blake Corum. So.
Corum's out for the year, right?
Yep. He's out. Yeah.
Knee surgery.
But that Edwards
Purdue
kid had another 200 yards.
Purdue was kind of in that game.
They were
a little, but them. I mean, that happens a lot in the first half of games, right?
Yeah. No. Michigan is fourth quarter. They're down 9.
Okay, so they're down 2 scores in the fourth quarter, and then they lost by 21.
Well, because they kept kicking field goals.
Yeah.
So they were failing at offense.
Yes. They kept
They
kept getting to the red zone? No.
Failing!
But they kept going, and like, Brom just, for some reason, you're making a 2-score game a 2-score game. He kept doing that. He kept kicking field goals when they're down 2 scores.
I didn't understand that either.
Two things on this. One, if Missouri's the softest team in college football, then Jackson Smith and Jigma is the softest person in college football.
And I can agree with that. And I don't understand why you can't agree with that.
Like, because it's based on a lie. We know Jackson Smith and Jigma is sitting out because he's a bitch and just wants to, get paid.
Dude, hamstrings suck. All right.
Hamstrings are
They're not 16 weeks of suck.
They're not
I'm 16 sorry.
Weeks.
Well, he re-popped it. He tried. During the
season. October 22nd. So he had 8 weeks off. Yeah. 8 full weeks off. Which, I mean, all of this brings me to money. Money with all this shit, with the players, with the teams, because the Kansas thing, by the way, the reason that was stated by the insiders at the University of your favorite team, Missouri, was that because of the home and home, they didn't want to give the gate money in advance to that potential gate money they would change or they would get in 2 years, but 2 years is a long way away.
That wouldn't change anything. I haven't seen that anywhere, and I've been reading this on every Missouri blog and board.
I mean, you didn't read the Barstool article, and that was the first thing that popped up.
They're the defendant in word on college football.
I mean, when you type in Mizzou, that was the first thing came up. But
content aggregation at its finest. Let's go.
Jackson Smith and Jigma, though, if you don't even care about playing in the college football playoffs anymore, We've already paid these kids through NIL deals. Mm-hmm. He already got $3 million.
Check it out.
It's a hamstring. It's not an ACL. But this shit didn't
start with this predates NIL dudes sitting out bowl games to go to the NFL or whatever.
Blame Christian McCaffrey. Yeah.
Was he the one that started this?
He's the first one.
He was the first one?
It was like the Sun Bowl, but who cares?
Yeah.
Well, then who cares about bowl games? Like
I do. I love bowl games. Bowl games are the best.
Yeah.
Would you prefer no football? Would you prefer nothing on TV? And also, I would prefer on a Tuesday night watching Ohio play Toledo. Why not?
Or just like your team. Look, I mean, and
zero football.
I'll just go back to Missouri.
More football is better than zero football.
Yeah. You still have the NFL going on. And to me, I love college basketball. I love college basketball, so I like watching college basketball. I'm fine with it.
But it doesn't mean anything. Like right now, it's just padding your resume.
Bowl games mean
this
nothing.
This is the Jackson, Smith, and Jigma. This is the most egregious version of this that's ever happened, in my opinion.
Ever.
Like, that's point one. Point two is that, is Sonny Dykes the college football version of Shanahan?
I tried to tell you guys
does
this.
Does he just, like, completely fall apart when it comes... Because
well, he hadn't to this point in the year, but then that, I mean, those,
but that's what Shanahan does too, right?
Yeah.
He's a great regular season and even fucking playoff coach until it gets down to the Super Bowl.
That was the worst shit to play. It's really,
I mean, yeah, Duggan gets you there. You just got to go. I mean, he was dying on the field, like he was bleeding, he was out of breath.
It reminded me of
single-handedly carrying.
It reminded me of the McNabb game in college where he's puking on the field.
Mm. No, that was the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
No, he did that at Syracuse too.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? I guess he was fat and just puked a lot on the field.
Yeah. Yeah. But he might have been out of breath. But then they, I think there was a timeout.
He ran 95 yards on one drive. One was called back for a penalty.
Right.
And that's why he had to run an extra 15 fucking yards.
To be fair, the draw play, the handoff on third down. It kind of looked on the overhead camera like he crossed the goal line with the ball. They probably should have reviewed that.
Yeah. And they also got, I will say, before that, a terrible spot.
Yeah.
That Duggan got to, spot, what, the 8-inch line, and they marked it half
closer
yard?
To one, yeah.
I mean, those...
Either way, a statistic that I learned this weekend is that for 1 yard or less, the QB sneak works 80% of the time, which means if you have two opportunities, you're looking at a 95% chance of getting it in.
And he's under center both times.
Like, what the fuck are you doing?
I thought they were going to run the QB sneak.
I understand not wanting to run some kind of play action or pass play and pull a fucking Seahawks. I get it, man. But what the fuck are you doing there? That's a terrible call.
Sort of the hilariously, like the inversed Seahawks,
yeah,
right?
You can't blame this on the fucking statistical models like some dudes like to do. Well, you say the numbers say go for it. The numbers say fucking QB sneak.
And I guess, right? I mean, they knew they were going to get in the playoffs no matter what.
They want
at that point.
They
it's
want
overtime.
That title, though. Yeah. This is a program that, you know, a conference title means a lot. Right. Like Ohio State, whatever. They didn't win the title. They're in.
Yeah.
Who cares? But right. TCU, that's a flag that flies forever.
So now we know who the top four teams are going to be.
Correct. And we also know that kid is not coming back. So the best wide receiver is out. And in my opinion, we'll start with that. We'll go with number one, Georgia, against number four, Ohio State.
Again, I disagree, though. I think your best receiver is still on the field.
That is the primetime matchup. He could be at one point,
well,
but
ultimately
just based
your
on
best,
stats.
Like, there's an old saying in the gunfighter community, the best gun is the gun that works.
Yep.
Right? And in this case, the best player is the player who actually puts on a fucking uniform and goes onto the field.
Oh, yeah. Has like one drop.
And if I'm, right. if I'm many, yeah, dude,
this
if
is,
I,
you know what? This debate happens a lot. It gets brought up a lot with Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
He's the best pitcher in the MLB. Well, that's true for 2 days a year.
You're paying for 20 starts.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, you should fucking prorate. He should get paid per start, and then I would give him whatever money he wants.
Agreed.
Yeah. But, you know, in this scenario...
Texas Ranger.
It's rough. This is rough for Ohio State.
And I agree. And like me, all my friends, everybody, we were super pissed off at this when this happened.
But what do you expect?
He doesn't want to get exposed. That's what it is. He's scared. He knows Ohio State's going to get run off the fucking field.
No.
There's nothing that he could do play-wise that would reduce his draft value.
Hang on. So I thought initially...
Zero catches.
I thought...
He could get
complete, yes.
No. He could get completely locked down. And because of what he did last year, he broke every record that exists for a wide receiver at a major university last year.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what he did this year. No fucking way here is his draft capital.
He is.
He's not. No. Quentin Johnston's probably the first receiver.
They said today he's the first pick off the board.
Johnston ESPN. Is. Johnston is going to be the first receiver.
Johnston from TCU, yeah. I think I agree with you, and it's about, for me, as somebody that would draft, it's about character and makeup. Like, I don't take Jackson Smith and Jekman because he put himself ahead of the team. Mm-hmm. That's a
red flag.
Big red flag,
yeah,
for a guy coming out of college, especially when you get to the NFL, you play by big boy rules. That's why Urban Meyer was not a success there.
Right.
You know what I mean?
A
lot of college coaches won't be. You're coming into this situation where now you got to learn a whole new system and play by big boy rules, and you won't even show up. It'd be one thing if it was the Sun Bowl. It's the fucking CFP. What are you doing,
man? I know. But he essentially did what Jamar Chase did for LSU, and maybe he's looking at the success of Jamar Chase, I guess.
Yeah, but that LSU season last year was fucking
a waste.
Our 2 years ago was the worst.
Perhaps he's the only honorable. Wasn't that the
COVID year, too?
Yeah.
He's the only honorable Buckeye. He's like, we don't deserve to be here.
Who else would have got in it for?
Nobody.
They should have just had the BCS this year. Just two teams.
I think the Heisman.
They should have the BCS every year, by the way.
The Heisman.
Every year. There's no reason to go to four. There's certainly not a reason to go to fucking 12. No.
12. You're going to have an upset here or there in the first or second round, but it's going to end up being the same champions.
Yeah.
Then you have a greater risk for kids getting hurt. And if you have a guy who won't play in the top four, you have two games to win a national title. You're going to tell me one of these kids who's at 12, 11, 10,
next man up
ranks, they're not going to.
Next man up.
But they're not going to. Then they're going to sit out, too.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
No.
You just had the best wide receiver sit out for the playoffs.
Unless there's an obvious price to pay for it, which I think Jackson Smith and Jegma probably falls to the lower part of the first round because of this move.
He hasn't played all year. Like, he hasn't been a part of your team. You can't be like, oh, he's a big part of if we lose, you can't make an excuse that he sat out, so like that's why we lost. He hasn't really played at all this year.
Yeah, but it's a hamstring. He's had 18 weeks to recover. He was the best wide receiver in the nation. What are you going to do? Like, you're going to tell me that's not a big part of your team?
Not 95
catches.
You can't say he's a big part of the team when he hasn't played at all. This year,
he has been not a part of the team at all.
He's played in three games, right? But he got hurt in all three games. So what are you going to do? To me, that is Georgia's weakness. And if you were going to beat them, you needed him. LSU, with two shitty quarterbacks, and I know they got housed, threw for 502 yards, which is an SEC record.
A lot of garbage time stuff.
Well, and also, here's the thing, man. I don't think it matters. If Tennessee's offense couldn't fucking do shit to Georgia, I don't know how Ohio State's going to do anything.
Well, Ohio State's got better running backs than Tennessee.
Correct, sure. And they will be healthy. The other part of this, too, with Jackson Smith and Jigma, because look, the Ringo kid from Georgia is fucking lights out as a cornerback. Then nobody would be able to guard Marvin Harrison, so you could just go to him 900 times a game. So... I don't know. The spread didn't change, though. It's -7 here, and that's what it... Well, 6.5 yesterday. It dropped. It's now at -7 for UGA. I watched that game on Saturday. Dominant. It's a weird fucking game, though. Can anybody explain that 95-yard blocked kick and why nobody decided to do anything about that?
Because nobody knows the rules of the sports they play anymore except for, like, the five main ones. So we talk about this in the baseball show all the time. Base running has been degraded to, like, little league level dog shit in the in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. Base running is horrific because that's a fringe thing, right?
It's not cool to be fundamentally sound.
Right.
I've seen refs blow that play dead, though. Like,
but they shouldn't be.
Kick. You it kind of rolls, just lays there, and somebody just kind of like downs it.
Yeah. Right. Well, that's the problem was nobody downed it.
Right.
So it was just laying there, and the kid looked around for a solid like 5 seconds and then just picked it up and fucking ran.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. The other play, too, that they got unlucky on. Did you guys see the fucking interception that bounced off the kid's head and then a guy kicked it up in the air when LSU was driving as well? Those two plays turned the game for me where it hit three different people. And then after that, they got fucking trounced. But I think if you're going to beat Georgia, you would need all your weapons. I don't know how Ohio State does it without homeboy now.
And I think Georgia, that's the type of team this year that Georgia matches up well against.
Who?
The Ohio State, Tennessee types of teams. I think Georgia matches up very well.
Well, here's the thing. You need two receivers. And the other kid at Ohio State's got over 1,000 yards
lack of defense.
Yes. And here's the issue. So Georgia's got three good running backs. They have no wide receivers, which is very odd to me.
I think maybe like the best tight end in the country, though.
Bowers is very, very good. I would probably put that kid from Utah over him, Kincaid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kincaid is probably onesie-twosie there. But that Ladd McConkey, it's a white kid. That's their best wide receiver. He potentially could be hurt. We don't know. He left the game last week. It's the white kid. But even he only had 51 receptions on the season, and he was leading the team for Georgia this year.
Georgia's offense.
It's a strange game. The guy who came back in, did you see the Jordan Davis kid who picked him up and gave the number one
sign? I stopped watching this game at halftime because it was...
It was in the first quarter.
I didn't watch a single minute of the SEC championship.
Just because you knew they were going to be stumped?
Because like even if LSU wins, A, they're not making the playoff, and B, Georgia's still
Georgia
winning.
Is.
Yeah. Was there another game on against it?
I forget. Probably.
There was. Yeah, I don't remember what it was, though.
Was it the K-State TCU game? Or is that right before?
They overlapped at the end beginning. But
it might have been Purdue-Michigan.
No, that was the night game.
Oh, fuck. I don't know. There was a game.
I was out to dinner with my lunch.
UCF played. Was that during it?
That's what it was, yeah.
Did you actually watch that?
Yeah, yeah.
Why would he not watch it?
I didn't know. Didn't your quarterback sit out or something like that?
So our backup quarterback, who's the quarterback of the future, did sit out because he would have burned his red shirt, Mikey Keene. So Plumlee played with a bad hamstring. And he's not a good quarterback, great athlete, but when...
Right.
You can't run the ball. Kind of a problem.
So you can play with a bad hamstring, Jackson Smith and Jigma.
Not well.
Sure can.
Not well, though.
Who gives a fuck? Go out there and be a decoy.
You're putting Patton in Calais.
Be a fucking decoy. Yeah. I'm good with that. Be a fucking decoy. I would love to say that this kid isn't going to get drafted in the top 10, but he is, and it sucks. And I don't know what that's going to do for the future of the rest of these fucking guys.
I wouldn't draft him.
I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't draft him at all, much less in the fucking first round. Because
I wouldn't either. But
if he'll quit on his college team, he'll quit on this team.
That's what Jamar Chase did.
Yeah, as soon as he gets unhappy with the play calling or not getting enough passes thrown to him, he's going to be a fucking
Jamar
bitch.
Chase did, and I have a feeling.
That is not even close to the same.
Sure is. Well, he sat out his entire fucking year.
It was the COVID year.
Yeah, why would he fucking bother playing six? They played six games. Who cares?
Why not play?
It was a stupid year.
It was a wash year.
Yeah, who cares?
Play for your team.
That's not the same thing.
If we're saying COVID trophies don't count, then that means COVID seasons don't count. And if COVID seasons don't count, who the fuck cares if he sits that season out?
Yeah, there were teams that played like six games.
Yeah.
Stupid.
It's only six games?
I think.
LSU was one of them, I think.
Or they didn't play a lot.
The Big Ten only played six, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, no. I think the SEC played a full schedule.
No, we played 10 games.
10 games.
You're right. They played a full.
There were no non-cons.
The SEC was the only non-bitch conference, remember? They were like, fuck you guys, we're playing.
I wouldn't have played.
Yeah. They were just, looser laws in that area of the country. Yes, dude. Big Ten country, a little more strict at the time.
But let's get to the matchups. Georgia versus Ohio State.
Yeah.
Is there any chance Ohio State can win this game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. There is.
This is exactly the type of team Georgia dominates.
What kind of game does Ohio State have to play here to win?
They
got to
race in the 60 and throw the ball every single down.
I'm still against your Michigan thing right now.
Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I think you've got the only way to beat Georgia after watching that game on Saturday is you got to race in the 60 and throw the ball like LSU did. I mean, 500 yards is a lot for two terrible quarterbacks. Stroud and those guys with great receivers, because I don't even know any of the receivers on LSU at all either. And I think that is the only way to do it, and you have to race them to 60 points. Defense-wise, exactly what you said. I don't think the defense can hold up for some of those big plays, but if they get two or three stops and race them to 60, you would have a shot.
You need to just get tackles for losses. You need to be in Stetson Bennett's face all game. You just need to put the pressure on him.
But that's not going to happen.
I don't think Ohio State's built for that.
You need to do what Kansas State did against TCU and just like blitz every down.
Yes. I think you got to do that. One. Two, you got no... I mean, it's odd, man. They have no receivers there, but they have three great running backs at Georgia. So like... It's a strange team.
Georgia.
It's a very odd team because they just don't have, besides their defense, they don't really have an offensive guy that you're like, holy shit.
So here's,
this is the dude.
Here's the problem. Ohio State essentially already played Georgia. Mm-hmm. They played Michigan. Okay. Against Michigan, Ohio State had zero tackles for loss. None.
Right.
If they can't get to Michigan, they're sure shit not getting to Stetson Bennett. Michigan had eight tackles for loss against Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same. Michigan and Georgia are very similar types of teams. It's going to be the same setup. And honestly, like look what Georgia did to Tennessee. They are built. They match up so fucking well with that type of team. It's just not. And this is not to say Ohio State's a bad team. It's like, dude, they're so fucking below Georgia. They're not. It's just styles make fights, and this is a bad matchup for Ohio State. They're not going to get the stops they need. Georgia can control the clock against them. they do need to get tackles for loss, but they haven't shown they can do that. I actually want to look at what they did against Penn State too, but they didn't do it against Michigan. I mean, it's just, it's going to be tough to keep the ball out of Georgia's hands. And dude, like Michigan, on paper, it doesn't look like they stopped Ohio State that much, right? CJ Stroud threw for 400 yards.
Yes. Yeah. I think, again, you would have to switch up your style and just go to shot. I said this to my buddy the other day after this matchup, or yesterday after it got cemented. I said, switch up the offense, go in shotgun, quick 10, 15 yard slants, try to score 60 points. Running the ball is very, very tough for these guys, especially now that homeboy's back for Georgia.
It's not very, very tough. Georgia has the number one run defense in the entire country. They give up 77 yards a game. Yeah. They play in the SEC, which is a real conference, and give up 77 yards a game. Now, Michigan gives up 85 a game, but they play, their schedule is bullshit. Georgia actually plays good teams, and they still put those numbers up. Like, to Bob's point, they're playing a better version of the team they've already lost against. So, and Ryan Day got severely outcoached in that game.
You did?
I don't know what his fucking plan is for Georgia.
They play a perfect game.
Every fucking,
you have to play a perfect game the way Michigan did.
Every team that comes against Georgia and is like, well, we're just going to fucking shut down the other parts of their team because we're going to go head on against them and try to shut down the run game because we don't think Stetson Bennett can do it. And then he fucking does it. Throws 3-4 touchdown passes in the game. Mm-hmm. It's not about who's in the position there. It's because Kirby Smart has built the best like franchise that exists. He is Alabama 5 years ago right now in Georgia.
So how
everybody thought all the draft picks they lost, all this they lost, blah blah blah, was going to affect them. They're playing the exact same thing style they played last year and getting the exact same results, actually better than last year.
They're incredible at reloading like this, especially after losing all those draft picks.
It's only been 2 years, but
they lost all their draft picks last year too. I mean, last year, what, 16 guys?
That defense is not anywhere close to last year's.
The numbers are better this year than they were last year.
They've got two shutouts. They got two shutouts on the year. Another team only scored
12.8 points per game.
They didn't give up 30 points in a game last year, I don't think.
No, but the only one they did this year was this last game. The high against them
this
year.
This is the high.
Yeah, the high against them so far was 22 until this game.
Which was Missouri.
I was going to say, so Bob, let me ask you this. Because I thought, I flipped over in the fourth quarter, and I watched the entire fourth quarter of that Missouri game when you guys were up. I didn't watch the rest of it. Yeah. How did they do it to slow Georgia down for the first three quarters?
I mean, Missouri has a, you know, their dog shit team order, but they had a really good defense. Until Tennessee torched them in that game, they had the number 13 defense in the country, Missouri did. And the main reason for that was they have a really good defensive line and a pretty good secondary. But their defensive line, I mean, it was just, they were able to essentially like hold, you know, they weren't like amazing against the run, but they were able to hold serve in the interior, and they were able to get to Stetson Bennett.
And it was a sleepy night.
It was a sleepy night. It was a night game, and Missouri, I will say, Missouri crowds always show up for Georgia. That's like the one game that they really show up for in the SEC.
But this Ohio State team just isn't built to do those things you're talking about. I mean, the 2019, Joey Bosa hadn't gotten hurt in 2019, that team probably, with that pass rush, could have beaten this Georgia team.
Yeah.
But I don't think this one.
Nick Bosa.
You need a fucking freak pass rush and then dudes who can get you just buy enough time for the pass rush to get there. And that Missouri has that. Like, Enos Rakestraw is great. Martez Manuel on the defensive line.
Okay, they've had enough time.
So why are they so afraid to play Kansas then?
Yeah. Everything you're saying doesn't really match up with,
no, I can't. I'm gonna
with
fucking
what
kill
the
myself.
Rest of the world.
I'm gonna make my children
here. They don't want to get beamed.
All right, we spent enough time on this.
Yeah, let's TCU go to the other versus game. Michigan here.
This might be one of the worst results in the history of the CFP. Like, the worst so far was 30-3 Clemson versus Notre Dame, I think, is the biggest 27-point loss.
Fucked up Michigan State 1 year.
And also, LSU ass-fucked Oklahoma
when they won the national championship. Was it more than 27 points?
I was at that game. Yeah.
Bama beat shut out Michigan State 1 year.
Jefferson, I was at that game. Jefferson had four touchdowns at halftime. Justin Jefferson and that at then Oklahoma.
I'm going to say this. LSU beat OU 63-28 in the college football playoff.
What's that, 36?
35. Yeah, and 35. By the way, and that's some garbage touchdownage.
Yeah.
They took out all their starters in the third.
Yeah, but that Clemson Notre Dame game was not garbage time scores. They got up 30-3 and just fucking let their defense handle it the rest of the way.
So why do you think this is garbage? Because you think TCU is going to get beat?
They're going to get fucking annihilated.
No, they're not. Yeah. They're going to win this game on the field.
No.
Yeah, they are.
Where else would they win the game, by the way?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say not just the spread, you fuckface. I'm not going
to
be like, oh, they cover. Like, yeah, they win. They cover.
You're picking them to win outright.
They win the game.
Gotcha.
This is Michigan by double digits.
No, it's not.
Yeah, easily. Yeah. They're going to get fucking clapped.
I'm just going to point to the Texas game where, yes, ugly, 17-10. You go back, watch that game. TCU rolled Texas. And Bijan Robinson company, like that style, Texas has a better run game than Michigan, I think, personally.
But Texas is worse everywhere than Michigan. They're worse coached. They have worse players. Yeah.
I think TCU wins. They're going to beat Michigan.
I don't think so, man. I watched that kid. So this is the first time. I've watched him twice this year. Ironically, it was both against Kansas State. I turned it on and flipped it on, and I was like, ah, shit. All right, they're getting fucking house. The upset alert came at the bottom of the screen. They were down 28-10 at halftime in that. I didn't really get the Duggan hype. I thought he showed a lot of heart in this game.
He's a gamer.
He's a gamer for sure, but he was still only 50% throwing the ball.
Because he was on his ass the entire game.
I understand.
Oh, well, that's going to go well against
Michigan's
Michigan.
Got fucking great defense.
Dude, here's the thing with TCU. TCU's dope. I'm really happy for them. They deserve to be in the college football playoff. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. No questions asked.
But Michigan had they got to the quarterback 8 times against Ohio State.
Right. And the other thing with TCU, too, is they had so many close wins, so many comeback wins. Like, credit to them for doing that. But when you do it that often, there is a massive luck factor involved. This team could easily be fucking 8-4.
10 games under 9 points this year. 10.
Means they're comfortable.
Michigan is going to fucking railroad. I'm sorry to my TCU friends. Michigan is going to fucking railroad this team.
TCU is not going to be able to get to the quarterback much, you wouldn't think, right?
No.
So Michigan, not a great passing team, but neither is Georgia. And every time somebody tries to quote-unquote stack the box on them, Stetson Bennett has 3 touchdowns.
And also,
because they're well coached.
TCU just played a team that's very similar to Michigan and lost.
Yeah.
And maybe would have lost the other game if Kansas State's quarterback didn't get hurt.
The other part about
Michigan
this,
beat
too.
Maryland by 4.
I don't care.
I mean, the other part about this, too, is that Edwards kid had another 200 yards rushing for Michigan. Good luck against that, man.
All right, I'll take the 4-5.
Michigan is going to win the entire fucking
they're
national
really
championship.
Not. And if they get to the national championship, they're going to get it's going to be the same thing. That
well, let me ask you, are
year.
You still standing by that? Now that Corum's out for the year, you still think Michigan's win the national championship this year?
Yeah, I do. Okay. Because, look, they're going to rail TCU. No problem. No questions asked. I think Georgia's going to beat Ohio State. And I've been saying this for fucking weeks. This is the type of team Georgia struggles against. Styles make fights this year. Georgia is really good. I don't think they're as good as last year, even though their resume is better than last year. I just think, like, player-wise, they're not as good as last year. And it's really weird. Like, last year when they matched up with Michigan, it was like, oh, dude, this is not a good matchup for Michigan. The tables have turned. This is the type of team Georgia has struggled against. We fucking saw it. They were in control against Kentucky the whole time, but because Kentucky obviously was never going to score on Georgia, but they had trouble scoring on Kentucky. And they were not in control against Missouri, which is a fucking dollar, a fucking 10-cent store version of Michigan. It's going to be a problem.
But how many times has somebody like Ohio State, through no fault of their own, made it into the CFP and ended up winning? You know what I mean?
Bama.
Bama
does it a lot.
Like, there's always that opportunity. And I got to tell you, regardless of how unlikely it is, I guess from Michigan's side, it's likely that they're going to beat TCU. But if Ohio State wins and it's an Ohio State-Michigan national championship, that'll be as watched as probably the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. And I would actually lean Ohio State in that scenario because it's
so hard to beat them twice.
Right,
yeah. That would be the most watched college football game of all time.
Yeah. Holy fuck.
I mean, you're talking
definitely
about
similar vibes to Duke, North Carolina. Yeah.
We all wanted that last year. Yeah. They were one game away from it. All cheering for
what's
UNC.
What's the most watched college basketball game ever? It's probably like football, rather. It's probably like 20 million, maybe 23 million.
It is, yeah.
Yeah,
it's around there. Yeah, it was Ohio State.
But the Super Bowl is like 100 million.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be that much, but it'll probably be 50.
Yeah, you can get.
If you got Ohio State, Michigan, we'll find out what happens.
Georgia doesn't have a nationwide fan base, unfortunately, although they're a great team.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that is we didn't talk about, too, is it's a home game for Georgia.
Yep.
I mean, it's in Atlanta. That's
every
fucking
goddamn
tough,
year. All their neutral site games.
Fucking this is wild, isn't
how
it?
Do they keep doing this?
And not only is it a home game, like, oh, it's in Georgia. No, they're even used to the stadium. This is their third game this year at Mercedes-Benz.
Third game. They played in the stadium.
It's gross.
They just played there yesterday.
Gross.
They were there 2 days ago at this fucking stadium, dude.
It's like this deal they worked out with Oregon. Do you think Oregon is going to get any type of home game against Georgia? No. No.
But you know what, dude? You allow yourself to get fucked like that. Oregon needs to have more self-confidence.
Yeah.
You're Nike. Come on.
Yeah.
Be better.
Yeah, I agree.
It's crazy, dude. It's fucking crazy.
We'll go over the rest of these games tomorrow.
Yeah,
but there's a bunch of good bowl games. Like
there is, but if these kids play, like
it doesn't matter. It's next up. You get to see the future of next year while also like bowl games are awesome. It's more football is never bad.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There's one game that I think you might be wrong about in that regard, and that's Florida Oregon State.
That's awesome.
No, it's not. Richardson's going to be out. Like Oregon State's -9.5 in that game. That's not good.
Yeah, is that real?
Yeah.
You get to see because the third string Florida quarterback.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
The other one got arrested for child porn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. So, what could have been? I will say, and just from a fan perspective,
was it the tax
it's
layerable?
Nice.
It's the SRS Distribution Las Vegas Bowl.
Oh, dude, Vegas trip? Come on. You as a fan, if you get to a cool location like Vegas, make a weekend out of it.
If you're a Florida fan or an Oregon State fan, I mean, anytime you get to leave Oregon, it's good.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Especially the core.
Like, our bowl game sucks. We played Duke and Annapolis. Like I
like just seeing different helmets. I like playing random teams.
I do too.
Like again, that you'd never play
it's
otherwise.
It's good gambling.
Yeah, you could have. Like, we wanted to see our rival. You guys obviously didn't want to play him. So you guys are playing. Kansas is playing Arkansas there.
This is probably the best non important bowl game that's going to happen. Liberty Toledo on the roofclaim.com Boca Raton. It's in Boca.
Well, Boca's not even fun.
Yeah, the other part about this, too, is
the weather's nice.
Everything's closed at 8.
By the way, here's how meaningless bowl games have become. So Barstool actually bought a bowl game. You know this, right?
Arizona Bowl, yeah.
And they're going to put it on a live stream on their website, I guess?
That's the only place it's being broadcast?
I think so.
That's funny.
I imagine. Like
that. You like it?
I like that because Portnoy's already played around with like alternative commentary. And so if they can get a good broadcast team, which will probably just hire someone out.
I think it'll be him and probably KFC,
and
right?
And they're going to like really do it up. And
Or Big Cat, I'm sorry.
I guess because like it clashes with ESPN or something. So like they don't. That'll be the only bowl game that ESPN doesn't put out.
That's funny.
So Missouri's playing Wake Forest.
Yeah, okay. Nobody cares about any of that.
The last thing
in college football that's relevant so far this week is Deion Sanders has taken that fucking Colorado job.
Yeah,
not just that he's taking the job, but kind of how he handled the whole thing is pretty funny to me.
I loved it, man. Did you watch the videos?
Yeah, he essentially told the Colorado players like, "Don't get comfortable." Because
But did you see a speech to the team after the game? And he said he was very honest. He didn't leave. He stood in the locker room and sat there with him like he was Santa and just said, "Look, I know you guys have heard about all the rumors and everything that's going on." And he goes,
"They're all true."
He goes, "Two things happen in the coaching profession. You can either advance or you can get fucking exterminated or whatever it is." He goes, "There is no grave for coaches who stay at the same university for 100 years and then they bury you and you die there." He goes, "That does not exist."
Well, you get a statue built, and they tear that statue down.
Right. So
you cover up child.
Here's the only shock with Deion in this whole situation for me is that there wasn't more schools that offered him jobs. Why Colorado? That's the only one I can't figure out. I understand if you're Colorado why you would do it.
Yeah.
But why wasn't there a long list of schools trying to get this guy?
There was some complaints that, Florida State already had a coach locked in. The timing just didn't work out for that. Some people complained about it, but the timing just didn't work.
And also, got a good coach. Norvell is working.
Yeah.
He's working.
The other one that was in play apparently was Auburn that he was having talks with, and I don't know what happened in that process.
Why not Cincinnati? I mean, Cincinnati just hired Satterfield.
Yeah, that could be one, too. Louisville, I mean, there's a decent chance that their vision for the team just didn't line up. Auburn is a very old school. They're going to be a running first team no matter who the fuck comes in to coach them. Right.
For Deion, like, if you want to keep moving up the corporate, I guess, coaching ladder, if you look at Cincinnati, all the coaches that have passed through Cincinnati and moved on to better spots, you have Fickell, obviously, Brian Kelly.
Yeah. Yep. Colorado's a good spot for him. It's like it's a school that used to be relevant.
Tommy Tuberville. They have a national championship. Yeah. If he doesn't stay long,
2 to 3 years.
It's a good job for him.
Yeah.
It is. Does that feel like a good fucking fit, though?
Well,
like Deion and Boulder?
Hang on. So here's the other.
Is he a weak guy or no?
No, maybe.
Probably.
Well, he lost half his foot, so we'll see. Yeah. The only thing that I think that maybe he was forced into this job was he did say his kid is going to transfer and be starting quarterback of Colorado. Was that the only school that would guarantee that?
Probably.
I don't know. They got like a decent history won a natty in the 90s, right?
Early 90s.
Yeah. Cordell Stewart was there. It's a cool campus.
No, I mean, even when I
should be easy to recruit.
It's a cool college. Yeah.
They were good. They were good college. Up until like when I was in college. I think my first 2 years, they won the Big 12 North both those years. They were in the Big 12 championship game, and they were in the fucking Pac 12 championship game. What, like 5 years ago?
I mean, if he can do, if he can do to running backs and defensive players from the East Coast, what Ohio State's been able to do with wide receivers from Texas over the last 10 years. Then he could put together a pretty good fucking program up
or,
there.
Or I guess like steal everyone from California.
Yeah.
Well, he can milk from both coasts. I mean, nobody's got more street cred on the East Coast than fucking Deion Sanders, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And then just from a defensive standpoint, great defenders come from the Midwest and they come from California primarily.
And, you know, it's a...
Well, defensive backs come from Florida.
It's
but
almost, it's kind of a historic brand. So like it's struggling now.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before.
You can bring it back to... prominence.
It's an upper middle class program.
Cool uniforms.
So they're like, if you think about Cincinnati is the one outlier from the discussion we just had because they've had recent success. But if he went to like a UCF, even getting them up to a top tier would be more difficult than getting Colorado up to a top tier at this point because Colorado's got the fucking bona fides, even though it was 20 goddamn years ago.
I wonder what their alumni support is like. I actually, they probably have better alumni support than we think because you think like, oh, Boulder hippies. But like, that's a relatively recent development. Like, I feel like there's a fair amount of good old boy, like, booster alums at Colorado.
Let's Trey Parker.
Let's look at some of their notable alumni.
Yeah, so there was a guy who was calling the Big Ten championship game, and he was an alumni, and he made a special shout-out during the broadcast. But I don't know who was calling that game with Gus Johnson.
Let's see, Steve Wozniak is an alumni of Colorado.
Is he really?
Yep.
That's a lot of money.
Joel Klatt.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
John Wooten obviously played there. Let's see. I'm looking for people that are still alive, but Wozniak's one. If he can make friends with old Woz, he's worth a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
He can pretty much fund your entire program.
Get that NIL.
Jackson
there.
Singletary in the chat says Stetson Bennett has more touchdowns in Mercedes-Benz Stadium than Marcus Mariota for the Falcons. That's a correct statement. And he should not be a quarterback in the NFL, friend.
Rick Riley is a Colorado guy. Maybe he should just hire him to come be his
Big
fucking
Dick Rick, dude.
Be his PR manager.
Yeah, why not?
Rick's living his best
Robert
life.
Robert
right
Radford
sure
is. Went to Colorado.
Is he in Italy right now?
What's that?
Rick Riley's just living in Italy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he doesn't even write. He just kind of writes stuff. Awesome. He blogs when he feels like it and then talks
throws
shit.
Throws out a tweet.
Then talks shit.
Just when he wants to, dude. He's the best. He's living
his
best life.
You got
to
go back and read his stuff because it was awesome.
The best back in the day. I used to skip ahead Sports Illustrated and read the last page.
I don't know how he like got away with all that stuff. Because
you could back then.
I know
it was about journalism.
But
back
he was
then,
actually he was even writing about it and not he would players would still talk to him even though he would be super honest about what they said.
Because he was such a good journalist and his writing style was ahead of its time.
You think the players are really reading those articles?
Yes, 100%. They read all this shit, all of it. If they read a fucking Instagram post last night,
they're searching their names on Twitter.
They sure are. Yeah, dude. They're searching on Instagram. I got fucking Jackson Smith and Jigman.
People you'll never interact with on Twitter that are professional athletes will have you blocked.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well.
Jim Gray and Chris Fowler, both Colorado alums. Sure, a lot of press.
Good sports media.
A lot of sports media shit.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But I'm not seeing a whole, like, well, other than Woz, but shit.
Lastly, by the way, in college football, to wrap this up here, is DJ Ukulele is entering the transfer portal, so he is gone from Clemson.
So where's he going? To Army?
So somebody...
Where they run a triple option? Because all he can do is run. He can't throw the fucking ball.
Somebody said Oregon because they have so many players like him. I don't know if that's true, but whatever.
What do you mean like him?
Isn't he Samoan or something?
I have no idea.
I think so.
Is he Hawaiian or something? I don't know.
But, I mean, look, if he does something like that, maybe he needs to go to like a Michigan-type place.
Or Utah.
Yeah.
Where Michigan's got a quarterback.
Utah would be a good spot for him.
19. So he's coming back.
Yeah. Like. Well, Bo Nix is out, right? I don't know if he has any eligibility left. So
he's going to play for 10 more years?
No. If you're a Clemson fan, you got to be mad about this, right? Because this is the same thing that happened with Trevor Lawrence. When who was the guy that started ahead of him?
Kelly Bryant.
Kelly Bryant. played like 2.5 games, and they're like, you know what? Fuck it. We're just going to move. We know that he's going to be our guy into the future.
Yep.
Clemson knows that Klubnik is their guy.
Yeah.
They know that. Why not just fucking bail on this ukulele kid at like after the first game when he was like,
well, what, Kelly
what
Bryant,
did they score? Three points against Georgia or some
Kelly
shit?
Bryant was good, though.
Kelly Bryant had a whole year, and they made the college football playoff with Kelly Bryant and then got butt fucked by Alabama in the semifinal,
and everybody knew he was good, but not the dude to take him to the next level. And everybody knew that about ukulele going into the season.
Stopgap.
How many times has this table said this season if they had just start Klubnik, they'd probably be in the CFP? I've said it like four or five
certainly
times.
Certainly, one less loss, probably,
and at least one less loss.
And they would have got in. They would have won the conference championship and probably got in.
They butt fucked North Carolina.
Yeah. So basically, if they start Klubnik, they don't lose to South Carolina. They only lost by like 1 point, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, apparently Drake May, by the way, is looking for that money.
What do you mean?
To stay at North Carolina, he wants $2 million.
Well, he should get it. He didn't have any touchdowns in with the last three games, though. So,
well, their offensive coordinators, I think, leaving too, right?
Yeah. Fuck him. He can come on up to Ohio State anytime, dude. We need a quarterback next year. We got a 1 year gap before that number one recruit comes in. Real quick, though, we got a title sponsor that pays for this entire show to be on the air. That is mybookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles your first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Bet with us or against us. Didn't do well in the NFL yesterday. Hoping to turn that around. Right after the MyBookie read, we always do, obviously, drinkingbrostickets.com. Plenty of tickets for all these bowl games out there. Super cheap. Minus the Ohio State's Georgia game. Those are pretty fucking expensive. Everything else is pretty fucking cheap and reasonable, at least. And then all the NFL games are also on that site. So feel free to peruse it. All right. Let's get to tonight's game and get a pick out of you guys real quick before we talk about the NFL over the weekend. It is Saints at the Buccaneers. This is Tampa -3, over under 41. Miserable game. D'Anthony, who do you got?
I'll take the, you said 43?
41.
41. I'll take that up to 48 and take the under on that and the over-under. I'm sorry. The spread?
Line's three.
-3 for Tampa.
No, I'll take that to 10. I'll take it at +10 Saints.
No need. You can just take the under. Just a hard under on this.
You're probably right, but there have been I've lost two bets on that, two straight bets, because of fucking special teams or defensive touchdowns in the last 3 weeks. I'm not doing that shit anymore.
God damn it, man.
It's always some random fucking act of
the 49ers game this week where they the scoop and score with 10 seconds
dude,
left.
What the fuck are you thinking? Don't you know I've got money on this game?
So Cleveland, I was piece going up against shit. Cleveland's defense to go to the fantasy football playoffs, and they scored three goddamn touchdowns, the defense, against the Texans.
Also, what I didn't pay attention to the end of the fourth quarter of the Cowboys game last night, because it went from 21-19 to 54.
They scored 36 points.
In the fourth quarter?
Yeah, in the fourth quarter. It was nuts. What? It was absolutely fucking nuts. Jared was at the game. I was talking to him last night. He was with Jerry Jones and those guys. Who do you got? So you're just taking a hard under on this at 41?
Yeah.
What do you got, Bob?
I'll take the Bucks. I mean, they need to keep winning just to hold on to their little, you know, get to the playoffs. So fuck it. They can win by three.
Yeah.
I'd maybe buy a half point. Actually, I'll buy a half point, 2.5 to be safe.
That's what I'm going
to
do. I'm going to take the Bucks -2.5 tonight. They're still in first place.
Yeah.
Shockingly at 5-6.
They don't look, man, like, I don't know that they're good, but all they need to do is just win the division. And they're not.
We've got to get rid of
these. Punch your ticket.
We got to get rid of these divisions. They need to go to the NHL NBA style playoff system. This is stupid.
I'm with you.
That a fucking shitty ass team is going to make it into the playoffs just because everybody else in their division sucks.
I'm with you. And especially in the NFC North here. With those guys. I mean, or who is it? Giants, Cowboys?
The East.
The Eagles, the East. That's it. The East. Like, how many?
NFC Beast.
Yeah. Who else is in there? Who's the 14?
Commanders.
The Commies.
Yeah, dude.
We're all in.
That's all top to
especially
bottom.
Especially since the Commanders that's and four, Giants tied this weekend.
Yes,
we're all in.
That's four playoff spots right there.
We should just make like a gentleman's agreement to keep tying each other.
It's four playoff spots right there. So let's
somebody
talk
tried
about
that last year, right?
Yeah, sure did.
Didn't work out.
They didn't want it to work out.
Was it the Chargers, timeout? Right?
No. Yeah, Chargers, Raiders.
Raiders called it. They called the guy.
Chargers
called
the timeout, and the Raiders like, fuck you, we'll kick the field goal.
Stupid. Let's talk about your Eagles yesterday. Man, oh man. I lost so much money on this game. I can't bet the Titans anymore.
Very clearly the best team in football.
Mm.
especially now that the Bills lost Von Miller. This is the Eagles are far and away better than anybody else in football right now.
And you even got to see your boy. He got a few snaps.
To be honest, I don't even think
that's why they won.
I don't even think Kansas City makes it to the fucking Super Bowl this year. If they have to run into Cincinnati,
they better miss the Bengals. Because
Cincinnati's got their number in the last 2 seasons. Kansas City is 20-2 against every team not named the Cincinnati Bengals.
I lost a lot of money on that game as well.
0-3. They cannot beat them.
And that, hey, the spread was only 2.5.
And Joe Burrow is so fucking good. It's such a pleasure to be able to watch him play football. I mean, I love Mahomes too.
So do I. But the only thing that sucks if you're in the AFC is you've got three dudes who are unbelievable, and they're all 25 years old.
Yep.
So one of them or two of them are going to be out every single year, which sucks. I would love to see them go head-to-head in a Super Bowl because that's what that Chiefs-Bengals game felt like yesterday. Felt like a great Super Bowl game.
I just like seeing the Bengals good. Like, I like them being relevant. Mm-hmm.
Why?
Just good jerseys, good helmets.
They look like a fucking... No. They look like that in Starship Troopers, the arena football game at the beginning. They look like they're dressed like that one team. Is it the team Rico's on or the other?
That's
I can't remember.
Titans. The Titans are fake. The Bengals...
Yeah, the Titans look like their jerseys look like they were made up for a TV show or a movie that didn't want to pay for the licensing rights for an actual team.
Yeah.
Fucking really sucks. Bad. And their team plays that way as well.
Yeah. And then the other thing was, didn't the fans vote on the team name? And it was supposed to be the Tennessee Tuxedos, which would have been hilarious, obviously.
That'd still be better than the goddamn Washington Commanders.
It's denim on denim. You know, it's denim on denim.
The Titans, right, that's a good name.
I like the Commanders now. It's growing on.
Redskins for life.
Redskins.
But breezing through this here, man, I had the Patriots plus 10.5 against the Bills. That was dumb. You took the Patriots money line in this. Are you giving up on the Patriots finally? Because I am. I hate this team.
They just don't have the weapons.
I don't think fucking... Mac Jones is very good.
I think they have an offensive coordinator.
Their defense is really good. And Belichick Jr. or his son is a good defensive coordinator too.
Right. They just need to get McDaniels back in the shuffle. And
or anybody. I mean, that's been the
only... Any offensive coordinator.
But why not start Zappy? Like, he's clearly the fucking guy. I don't really get it.
I don't know.
I think Bill Belichick, I've said this before on the show, he's just like bored. And, you know, it's like when you've won Madden a million times.
He's playing on hardcore mode.
Playing on hardcore mode with the worst possible roster he can assemble on one side of the ball.
Fuck, it's terrible to watch, man.
And, yeah.
He's self-sabotaging so he can never truly be compared to Brady.
Yeah.
I guess.
I think he's
who's responsible? Well, if I have a shit team.
Can't blame me.
You can't blame me. Yeah, it's just the roster.
I think
that I put together.
The team that's really in trouble now are the 49ers because Garoppolo's out. Not that he's a huge difference maker, but just having this. Don't start with this Baker Mayfield
shit.
Here we go.
No. So Baker Mayfield got cut today. I don't think he's going to the 49ers.
He's going somewhere.
NFC.
I could see him on the Saints.
Conference championship 49ers. No, I losing see him on the Eagles, but with
not the Ravens. Baker the Ravens Mayfield. Have a backup already.
Oh, that's right. Huntley's good. Yeah. You're right. Yeah.
But I could see him going to the Saints, although it would be on a very small contract.
But then you got to cut three of those guys, I think.
Not because Taysom Hill is a fucking tight end on the roster.
But they're paying him like a quarterback.
Doesn't the matter. Problem.
That was a dumb deal.
Because Baker Mayfield's going to get maybe a $2 million deal prorated for the rest of the season.
But why do it? Much. Just tank the rest of the year if you're the Saints. If you lose tonight, if you're the Saints, tank the rest of the year.
The 49ers are going to ride with Brock Purdy all year.
So I wanted to ask about that because he looked fucking pretty goddamn good.
He looked okay.
Yeah,
they ended up smashing them last night.
No tape on him, though. I mean, don't put too much. If he rattles off two or three games in a row, then I'll give it some respect. But until then...
I really used to like Brock Purdy. And then
25 for 37, 210... Two touchdowns.
Because I would
never play.
I always talk to myself in Iowa State and Brock Purdy is like, this is the year they're going to kind of be a disruptor. They're going to win the Big 12. They're going to maybe run the table.
Never believe.
And they would lose the first game. And it's just like, God damn it.
By the way, how do you complete 25 passes for under 300 yards? Like, that is what were they giving them?
That's how the 49ers play football.
But I mean, like, even yards after catch, like, what's going on with that?
That's all they do is chew up the clock. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think they could beat the Eagles is they chew up the clock. Each play seems to be about 5 or 6 yards, and it just keeps happening over and over and over again. It's not fun to watch, but it's a style, certainly. Right. And
we'll see. So they play the Buccaneers next week.
Who cares?
Yeah, that's not. But then they go to Seattle, right? That's going to be the challenge. If Brock is still starting then, and he has a good game against Seattle's defense.
So Jimmy G's out for the year, by the way.
That's fine. He's gone. Anyone on this roster right now, Church or Shanahan, like, they're going to get to at least the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
I mean, he never needs a great quarterback performance to win games, right? So this isn't that big of a deal. But you do have to do two things. You have to be good. You have to be accurate and check down well, and you have to not turn the ball over. If you can do that in Shanahan's offense, you can probably win. You can at least get to the NFC Championship game.
So to go to Delco's conspiracy here, I find it very odd that you lose your starting quarterback and then the next day Carolina cuts Baker Mayfield. For what reason?
Oh, yeah. Shanahan was like just sitting, twisting his mustache. Oh, I can't wait to get if only we had Baker
team. But what's the financial hit? Like, why not keep him? He's the only backup behind Durr. So, like, why not keep him for the last five games? Walker. Yeah, but why not just keep it for the there's five games left?
Because he's kind of a locker room distracting.
Yeah, and he's really bad. I think when I saw him headbutting dudes in helmets on the field idiot. 2 weeks ago, I'm like, yeah, they're going to get him off the worst.
Although he's still more likable by his teammates than Russ.
Oh, yeah, it's true. That's true. But
again, scored 9 points yesterday.
It's hard to like the robot who thinks you're trash.
Yeah.
Right? Like a robot who looks down on you.
Drew Brees. Call Drew Brees right now. I think he could go in and win this.
Well, Drew Brees got struck by lightning, so I don't know if he's not available.
Is that what happened to his forehead?
Yeah. No, there was a video over the weekend.
It was a points bet video. It's fucking stupid as hell.
They said he was struck by lightning. He was not, and he had to release a statement. I say bring him back. I think he could get this team to the Super Bowl.
The answer to your question is that Baker asked for the release.
Potentially.
No, not potentially. So
did he?
This is what Wilkes, their GM, said.
He
felt and we felt we wanted to give him the opportunity to seek whatever his agent felt was best for him. He has been nothing but a professional for us and blah, blah, blah. So we extended the courtesy.
Oh.
So that sounds to me like Baker was like, hey, I'm not going to play here. Everybody else's quarterback's getting fucked up. It's maybe you're right from Baker's perspective, but not from Shanahan's perspective.
Okay.
He's like, oh, Jimmy G's out. They must be wanting Baker.
Maybe.
Nobody wants Baker Mayfield.
If Baker Mayfield wins the Super Bowl with the 49ers,
it would be the best.
Is Baker Mayfield oblivion. Better than Brock Purdy?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
Yes, he is.
One, he's.
Wait till you see real Brock Purdy. He hasn't come out yet.
I've seen real Baker Mayfield for years.
It doesn't get any worse than that. It's much better.
He's 1-5 this year.
Brock Purdy.
Baker Mayfield has the lowest QBR of any quarterback in the NFL this year.
That's fine.
Yeah,
I'll still take him over Brock Purdy.
He's 5'6", 135 pounds of nothing.
Of nothing.
But if he wins the Super Bowl, are you going to apologize?
No.
For what?
Both the Baker Mayfield slander and the Kyle Shanahan slander.
Hang on. So two things here with this, okay? 49ers aren't winning the Super Bowl. And I never said that. I said they would go. And I think that still holds true. Is this team talented enough that it really doesn't matter who their quarterback is? Maybe. Because their defense is so fucking good. That maybe they could trot out somebody like a Baker Mayfield and just... All it is 5-6 yard passes. That's all the offense has ever been there. So like... Maybe, but no.
When he's holding that Super Bowl MVP trophy.
Because then yes. So if he wins the Super Bowl MVP and he wins the Super Bowl, I will apologize. I'll go further than this. I'll shave off every hair on my body from manscaped.com, promo code Drinking Bros, 20% off, and I will send it in a Ziploc bag live on air to Baker Mayfield. We got the publicist's info. I will send the bag of hair directly to him, and I'll do it right after that game because chances are we'll probably all be together watching. Right. So I will do that.
Okay. Then we all dress as monks, and then we welcome you into the Church of Shanahan.
If you want me to do a Friar Tuck, I'll Friar Tuck it up, dude. Okay. I'll tuck it up and do that, and then send the hair off to Baker and his people, and with a note that says, "I apologize for the years and years of slander that I've given you," and I was correct. But so whatever, man.
The Cowboys are getting ready. OBJ's in Dallas today to meet with the Cowboys. They're going to sign him this week probably. Do they let anybody go after that? Like,
is he available, by the way?
I don't know. And that's a fucking problem if the Cowboys get him, dude.
Yeah, that's, it's a definitely a problem. And team. I wonder if their like fourth string slot guy is somebody that, or is somebody on their roster on the offensive side or even on the special team side attractive enough to San, that they would send him in a package, or somebody on San Francisco's team on the defensive side, or somebody that they would trade Cooper Rush. I'm just thinking of quarterbacks who have played in the league this year, who've gotten starts this year, that might, because San Francisco still need, regardless of what Brock Purdy does, they still need a backup. Right?
But I still think the Cowboys need a backup too. And if Cooper Rush has won all those games for you, I don't think you trade him either.
It might also be insane for them to
let past anyone the trading deadline in the NFL too.
You know, it's available.
Who? Kaepernick?
I mean, Zach Wilson?
If there wasn't a trade deadline, but we could be like Gardner Minshew.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, people mentioned Kaepernick online. I mean, I know it's been 50 fucking years.
It's a meme at this point.
It's been 7 years since he played.
You can't play competitive football.
I am with you.
When you haven't started in half a decade.
Look, I'm with you. Is there anybody else out there for the 49ers?
No, because it's not just the 49ers who are looking for. I mean, look, Huntley is in Baltimore, but I think that they're in more trouble than the 49ers are, even though the 49ers have less of an option at quarterback because Baltimore depends on Lamar Jackson. Now, maybe they can tighten up a little bit and play a different style of game. Harbaugh has been good about that in the past. But fuck, man, they're in a really bad situation right now.
They are. And
was that Lamar's last game for Baltimore?
It could have been. I kind of hope so. There was a press conference earlier, and he said he's week to week right now, which is worse than day to day, obviously.
Sure is, yeah.
Dude, bring back Cam.
Oh, fuck.
I second that.
Let Cam cook.
I'd be down with Cam. Cam in the 49ers
yeah.
And he runs. Mm-hmm. Shit, dude.
And he only has to throw 5 yards.
That's it. Yep. Yeah. It's all he has to do. That might be the best move. Holy fuck.
If they brought in Cam and just ran like a wildcat offense with Cam, Debo, Christian McCaffrey, that would be pretty interesting.
Dude. And he can still chuck.
I would watch that. They only need
same
to,
here.
They
only need to, his shoulder's off.
His shoulder's fucked, but they only need.
But it's quick slants.
They only need to score like 13 points a game to win. Like, that's no it. Shit.
Yes, yes.
They give up like 12 points
a game.
I mean,
they even shut down the Dolphins' offense, which is wild. I mean, fuck, dude. They only scored 17 points in this game. We had two touchdowns. Hill, though, went off 146 in a TD, but.
Otherwise, your other options like Mike Cam. Glennon?
No, dude,
I got one for you. Cam is good. If you want to go really far out there for the 49ers, perfect for their offense, Tebow.
No, Tebow hasn't played in years.
I don't give a fuck. Tebow's in shape.
Cam is just out. Like, he's in shape. I saw him the other day.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually in the student section on Saturday. For
Auburn game?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was a basketball game.
How
yeah.
drunk are you? Because, like, you just gave up Tebow and Cam Newton. Which one of them do you think walking off the couch is more athletic?
Tebow.
Right now?
Tebow.
maybe.
Tebow works out four times a day.
Yeah. Tebow's a psycho.
That's tough, and Cam's all banged up.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. He's not even close in their primes.
But let me ask you, let me put this another way. Who do you think, over the course of their lives, is more likely to become obese? Cam Newton or Tim Tebow?
Tim Tebow.
No.
I'm going to find Tim Tebow in 10 years at a freaking Cracker Barrel.
He's shredded.
He will, but he'll be shredded there.
Tim Tebow won't even eat chips with his guacamole.
Nope.
He eats guac straight with a spoon.
Sure does,
dude. That's a psycho move.
But San Francisco's got to sign or trade for some, or do something.
I agree.
They have to. So maybe it is.
I love the
Baker. Baker technically is the only guy available that's played quarterback this year because the trade deadline is passed.
My boy Carson Strong from Nevada. Let's go. He's a free agent, I think.
No. We'll switch on over to baseball here. God, it's coming up Philly again. They just signed Trey Turner for 11 years, $300 million there.
Yeah, that's a dumb deal for them. But it'll
not if you win another. If you win a World Series.
10-year contracts in baseball are not that dumb, especially when you're under 30.
Yeah, because in 5 years, 6 years, if you know their windows close or whatever, whatever his rate is not going to be that bad.
Who gives a
compared
shit
to what it
and
is
there's
now.
No there's no salary gap.
The deal
our owner spend money.
There is a luxury tax.
The deal includes a full no trade clause, no deferred money. This is a terrible, terrible deal.
It's great agent.
There's no trade clauses. I mean, if Philly sucks, he'll take a trade.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he wouldn't, but you're tying yourself to a guy who, until he's 40, when his production is primarily based around his athleticism and speed. And that is, those are the two things that deteriorate the quickest in players.
Yeah. And, you know, but he, the market dictated what it was. It's right. A good move for you're Philadelphia for the next 4 to 5 years.
Probably four years. And here's the thing. I don't mind it if you're there. Like, and the Phillies are there. They're close. So
Trey Turner and Bryce back together.
Yeah. I mean, who else were they going to get that was going to be a game changer this offseason?
Carlos Correa. There's a lot of good shortstops on the market.
Dansby Swanson.
Yeah.
Swanson's not going anywhere.
Yeah, he is.
You think he's
I don't, I hope they don't. Why would they? So he just came off of a career year. So it's like, it's a seller's market for him now. And the Braves are more disciplined than that. They don't typically give out huge contracts to guys who just had careers. Look at the way they sign everybody else. They sign them to long-term deals at reduced rates. They're not the only exception is Austin Riley, but he's 23.
Now, the opposite is the Mets. They just gave a two-year deal for $86 million to Justin Verlander at 40 years old.
That's low risk for them, I think. They've got the money for that.
Okay. They went Verlander over DeGrom, and
it was only because of the years involved. That's it.
DeGrom wanted too many years, yeah. But honestly, dude, fucking, I think it's a better move because Verlander actually pitches in games.
Yeah, yeah.
Like fucking DeGrom is hurt all the time.
He's got a super arm now because he got Tommy John,
and you got Kate Upton. Kate Upton in New York now.
Dude,
so
those legs, Verlander's ass, like that's good aging. That's a good aging ass.
So I have a why don't more pitchers, like, even if they don't have a bad elbow, why don't they just get Tommy John surgery super early?
That's a myth. That's a myth.
When they're 20, sit a season out.
John Smoltz talks about that all the time. Tommy John surgery, because people will get it and they'll be like, oh my God, I'm so much better now. And Smoltz is like, no, you're not better. It's that your tendon was fucked up and you got it repaired. And now you're better than you were when your tendon was fucked up. But if your tendon's not fucked up, that's not going to make you better.
No. Hear me out.
You talking about the rookie?
Rookie of the year?
Yeah, rookie of the year.
That's when he breaks his arm, though, right?
Sure does.
Yeah.
Sure does.
Bomb. Hit him with the floater, Johnny. Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah.
Dude, the NL East is loaded, though. I mean, that division's a fucking nightmare.
It is. It's going to be a tough one next year.
DeGrom pitched 11 games last year.
And the
year before that, he pitched 15, and the year before that was COVID, it was 12. But over the last two seasons, he's thrown a total of 26 starts.
Yeah,
that's not even one season's worth of starts.
Verlander's going to eclipse that in 1 year on the Mets.
Yep,
that's a better deal for them.
He's old as hell, man.
He's sturdy. He also just won the Cy Young.
Yeah. Lastly, here I want to talk about UFC on Saturday night. That was one of the best fights I've ever watched.
It was an awesome card, and I didn't fully understand why.
It was free too.
It was a fight night in Orlando
on ESPN, and it was free.
But a lot of guys,
regular ESPN.
A lot of guys wanted to fight because they wanted to go to Disney, which is weird.
Well,
like Ty Tuivasa
during December, you get to take the kids and all that other stuff. Like, did you watch the fight, Giorgio?
I watched some replays on the way back. I was a little busy coaching this weekend.
Okay.
I was watching on the phone.
Wonderboy, that fight was the best fight I've seen this year. It was the only fight where once a guy went down, they waved each other back up and just fucking murdered each other.
Incredibly stupid by Kevin Holland.
I agree, but it's the most exciting fight you could possibly watch. Uh-huh. Just two men slugging it out, and he didn't go down, and he took some of the most ruthless shots I've ever seen in my life.
All those
dude.
Kicks.
God damn it,
I mean,
dude.
That's what broke his hand.
It was blocking his face, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still going to take some damage.
Yeah, a ruthless kick is like a baseball bat being swung at you.
That's what it sounded like, man. What a fucking fight.
And finally, like a good style matchup, because they keep giving Wonderboy before this two grapplers that just...
Well, that's because Wonderboy for a while was on this trajectory to try to come back to a title. So we've taken him out of that, same way we've done Jorge Masvidal.
Right. Just
and
fun
now we
fights.
Just put them in fun, interesting fights because they have a name and they need to sell out a main event.
And they did, and the fight was worth, you know, every penny if it was, you know...
ESPN Plus.
Charge, yeah, but it wasn't.
Whatever,
it wasn't.
Bucks,
no, it was on regular bucks. ESPN. So I flipped over there after the Michigan-Purdue game, and I was like, holy shit, is this on live free? Yep. And I was surprised. I was like, all right, shit.
RDA was on it.
Fantastic. Are they done for the year?
No.
They're not?
No. There's a pay-per-view.
Yep.
Okay, who is it? Who's left over in the UFC?
It's the one big December pay-per-view. Let me pull that up.
There was a huge controversy this weekend, though. One of the coaches just got banned from the UFC because he was given inside information for gambling purposes about his fighters. So, like, he would reveal injuries and they would hammer the other guy.
Okay.
So, he is now banned James Krause.
Oh, wow. His
name. Oh, really? I know that dude.
And all UFC fighters are no longer allowed to gamble on the UFC.
Yeah, but they're also not allowed to work with him. What do you mean? They said moving forward, you're not allowed to work with this trainer, or else you can no longer work.
So, Rob, fight for they're the UFC. Now not allowed to gamble on the UFC?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean,
today?
Yeah.
Feels late.
Well, if you're betting on yourself, though,
yeah, it's a non-team sport.
And so there's I mean, they have this huge deal with DraftKings.
Yeah. That's what's odd about it.
If you're betting on yourself, cool thing, like the fighters, be like, oh, here's who the fighters are picking.
Yeah, on DraftKings. That was a huge, huge thing. Is like they would just post their betting slips on their card. But also, I mean, you're no one in your immediate camp or immediate family is supposed to be allowed to bet per what the UFC is like telling the fighters in their contracts as well.
Fuck that,
so you
dude.
Can't like proxy bet through people.
If you think you're way. Great and want to lay money on yourself, Sean I'm all for it.
Sean O'Malley was putting like his whole purse.
Yeah, I think great.
You should be required to gamble on yourself.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Now, the issues were the potential that the fighter who's like a... So, Derek Minner, who's one of the guys that just got banned and released from the UFC, and kind of the outlier that kind of showed that James Krause and Minner were kind of a problem, where he was injured going into a fight, knew that, and all this money came in against his opponent.
Okay.
Or for his opponent against him. He obviously lost the fight because he was super injured. And maybe he had money tied up in that with him fading himself.
Okay.
Like he bet on the other guy.
Yeah. And was that true?
They had there's an investigation going on right now, but that's the fear that he might have bet on the other fighter, knowing he was injured. He got money to show up for like a very low level fight, which is like peanuts, and then he made more money gambling on the other guy against himself.
Okay, I could see that happening for sure, especially when you don't make that much money and you're not a top draw. Yeah, for sure.
And Krause went on, I believe, the MMA Hour, and just bragged about how much money he was winning on fights compared to how much money he used to make as a fighter.
Okay.
So probably not the move.
Yeah, yeah, not the move.
Yeah.
The move is to watch this card, though, because you have a light heavyweight title fight between Jan Błachowicz and Magomed Ankalaev. Really interesting situation here. It was supposed to be the rematch of one of the best light heavyweight fights of all time between Jiří and Glover Teixeira. Jiří has a shoulder injury that they've described as one of the worst injuries in all of sports. And then Glover wanted a little bit more time to get ready for Ankalaev. He would have fought Błachowicz right away, but because it's such a different stylized fight, he wanted to push it back a little bit.
To Brazil, probably. And he still will.
And then they swapped him out with Jan. I think this is interesting because the winner of that will probably get Glover as well. So like, all it does is really tie the belt up until Glover gets his next crack at it, which is super interesting. But yeah, it's crazy things that are happening. And then the co-main event is Paddy Pimblett fighting Jared Gordon, which is a little boring to me. But
it's Paddy.
Yeah, it's Paddy. We have to watch him be fat again, then get skinny, and then get fat again.
Yeah, he'll bring out some fans for sure. Like, I'll watch him fight just because he's entertaining. And then the Jake Paul thing, is that true? That's going to happen the day after?
Who's he supposed to fight?
Jake Paul bet him $1 million to show up and spar with him for 5 rounds.
Oh, Paddy?
Yes, Paddy, yeah. Mm. And Paddy came back and said he would do it, and he said he would do it the day after. Said he wouldn't do it before a fight, but he would show up and do it immediately after.
Eh, boring. I doubt that's going to happen, and if he does...
It's $1 million.
It's to spar, but whatever.
No, he might
spar
show
for
up,
5 rounds.
He may show up and like it'd be like a social media stunt, and like nothing really happens, and they smile and hug each other or whatever. The best fight of this card, though, is probably going to be Bryce Mitchell versus Ilya Topuria. Thug Nasty, camo shorts himself versus a Spanish undefeated fighter who's really been going after some of the top guys. I look forward to that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I look forward to Bryce Mitchell's flat earth theories.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Has he came out as a Kanye supporter yet? He seems like he would.
I'm sure he's like 5 seconds away from doing that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Find out. Real quick here, I forgot one of the names that was pitched for the 49ers was Ryan Fitzpatrick. That would be awesome. I would love
Fitz Magic.
Yes, I would love
that
it.
That would scare me.
I would love it.
Yeah.
I've always loved that guy. I think that'd be a fun team.
Fuck, the Rams called a safety last year, right? And brought him out of retirement.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're saying Drew Brees, Roethlisberger. Hmm? I don't think Roethlisberger would do this. Philip Rivers. He would.
San Francisco fans rooting for Roethlisberger would be funny, though. Like, that in and of itself would be
Blake
humorous.
Bortles is on this list
He's
as well.
He's retired, unfortunately.
Cam Newton.
Look, if you want someone... Let's just bookend this show, all right? If you want some with Missouri football, if you want someone to complete 4-yard passes all day, you get Chase Daniel from the Chargers right now, and you let that man cook.
Oof.
That was the most undeserved round of applause
ever in the history of this show.
In the history of applause.
Softest team in college football. Wouldn't play their rival. Bet with us or against us on mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles your deposit all the way up to $1,000. Got some money on tonight's game to make it a little interesting for you. Also, head on over to iTunes, rate the show 5-star, and leave a quick review. Yes, it helps all of our shows. Same with Spotify. Just a 5-star and then walk the fuck away. We'll have much more on the college football playoff show tomorrow regarding the predictions and then some of the bowl games and everything else. Thanks for tuning in, kids. For D'Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, Papa Giorgio, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everybody.